Today, we're talking about compassionate mission. Now, when you put those two together, sometimes I feel like they collide, but this is a story about Jesus. And Jesus has this following of people that are following him. And let's just say Jesus and his pack of people are headed this direction. And in the other direction, headed this way, is a single mom whose only son has died, and they're in a funeral procession. So you've got all of the funeral procession headed this way, and you got Jesus and a pack of people this way, and they collide. And the story goes into place and happens in Luke chapter 7. And it begins in verse 11. In Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 11, here's what the text says. And it's really, really fascinating. It says, soon afterward, Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed him. A funeral procession was coming out as he approached the village gate. The young man who had died was a widow's only son, and a large crowd from the village was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. "Don't cry," he said. Then he walked over to the coffin and touched it, and the bearer stopped. "Young man," he said, "I tell you, get up." Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Now, let me just stop and say to you, this doesn't happen every day. I mean, this guy is dead as a hammer. Here's how a funeral procession in that time would have happened. This kid has died, and we don't know exactly how old he is, but he was old enough that he would have become the, quote, man of the house. Now, the way Jewish law worked, when this woman's husband had died, she didn't get whatever he left. The son got it. Now, when the son died, you would think, well, the mom gets it, but she doesn't get anything, right? Because in that day, women weren't treated as equals. They weren't even treated as citizens, all right? Now, how moronic is that? But when you look back on it, that's the way things were. So I want you to imagine how the mom feels. The mom's lost her husband. The mom's now lost her only son. The mom is mourning and grief-filled. She's probably filled with anxiety about, where do I go from here? What am I going to do? How am I going to care for myself? I have nobody to be with. What's going to happen to me? And all the while, she has to walk in this procession to bury her only son. But here comes Jesus with his pack of people. Two radically different things going on. A group of mourners, which again, according to Jewish tradition, they had people that would come. They were professional mourners, and what they did was wail. All right. So when there was a death, and on the way to the funeral, in that casket, the wailers would have been walking along in the procession. Oh, oh, are you with me? I mean, just drives me bat crazy to think about it. But they're on the way doing that. And then on the other hand, you got Jesus and his people, and they're just coming to see whatever Jesus is doing. That's got to be super cool. They collide, and Jesus comes up, and all of a sudden, he looks at this dead boy, but who is he moved from compassion with? The mom. He looks at the single mom, the widow, and he's moved with compassion about her. And he walks over and he touches the casket. Now watch this. This is a big deal. Again, according to Jewish law, that if you touched a dead person or you touched that casket, you were then, quote, unclean. And you had to go through a massive ritual, including bathing and presenting yourself to a priest to now become clean so you could be around people again. Now, that was the norm, the rule, and the law. And Jesus comes along and basically says, hang the rule and the law, and I'm certainly not worried about tradition because I'm moved by compassion. Now watch this. If we're not careful, the American church, Sugar Hill Church, will become like most of the American church if we're not careful. Because most of the American church is so concerned with how many people they get in the building, how big a building they can build, and how much stuff they can do to elevate their pastor, their singers, and their influence in the community, that they spend so much time trying to be relevant that they're never moved by compassion to go do the work of Jesus. And I would say to you, church, it's easy to do. It's easy to be concerned about how many people can you get in the building and how many people are you preaching to and how much music do you do and what do people think? Are you cool? Are you happening? Are you relevant? Are you welcoming? And all the while, if we're not careful, we'll miss compassion. And Jesus, as he's walking along, was moved by compassion. How does the mission in Jesus in this world, as it's seen here in this story, how does it shape the mission he calls us to in the world? Now, what I want to ask you is this, not us as in Sugar Hill Church, but us as in you and me. It's one thing for you to join the mission of the church, which is awesome. It is another thing when your personal heart is moved with compassion to make a difference for the cause of Jesus. Now you say, well, Chuck, I'm not a naturally compassionate person. It's not my nature. I want to stop and say, I'm one of you. I really am not either. Like a lot of wives tell their husbands on the way out, I love you. Jenny usually says, be nice today. And you know, there's reason for that because I can be naturally selfish. I can be a bull in a china shop. I can hurt people's feelings, not even know I do it. But when I open the windows and doors of my heart, the question is this, am I filled with enough Jesus that overshadows my selfishness with his compassion? Are you with me? So the question is this, if you're not naturally moved by compassion, are you moved by Jesus? Because if you're not moved by Jesus, let me introduce you to Jesus so you can be moved by his compassion. You see, when Jesus came into my life, he knew I wasn't naturally compassionate. I wasn't naturally nice. I wasn't naturally giving. I was naturally selfish. But he changed my life, not because of me. He changed my life because of his presence in me and moved us to compassion. Look at what Jesus did. Take a look at Jesus's feelings. Now, I love this. Julie's big about talking about feelings. Like on the podcast, she says all these sweet and nice things. And I'm just like, whatever. I mean, I don't even own feelings. You know, I mean, I'm one of those people. Some of y'all are like that. But here's what I know, that when Christ takes over your life, he will give you that feeling of recognition and knowing that he wants to call you into his compassionate mission. Desperately. I mean, think about it. Whatever it is you do, Monday through Friday, Monday through Sunday, whatever it is you do, Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart, calling you into mission with him. But it has to begin with compassion. If you look at his feelings, Luke says he had compassion for this mom in verse 13. The miracle is going to be for her, not for the boy, because he gives the young man back to the mom, the scripture says. He was moved from compassion for the person that was hurting. Now, I think it's super cool that Jesus stopped and looks at a guy that's dead and has the boldness to say, dude, sit up, get up, wake up, and go take care of your mom. Now, you got to admit, that's cool. I mean, seriously, haven't you ever thought I'd like to be a part of seeing that kind of miracle in my life? Seriously, haven't you ever thought about that? I mean, I do all the time. It's like, you know, I just wonder if my lack of faith keeps me from seeing it for what it is. I just wonder if sometime I believe in, you know, let's do the church this way and let's follow this routine and let's follow this path. And all the while God's saying, you know, I didn't build compassion to live in a box. I built compassion to live in you so that you could unpack it all day long. But I wonder if maybe the church and trying to just be the church is literally creating a barrier between us and sharing the compassionate nature of Jesus because we're so concerned about doing the right things at the right time in the right way. Listen, do you know how many Pharisees were probably hanging around there and they looked at Jesus who steps into the most inconvenient time in a funeral march with the wailers going on and the last thing he's supposed to do is reach over and touch a dead person. Now I want you to imagine Jesus and his pack coming this way, the mourners coming this way. Jesus sees this mom, moved with compassion for her, walks over, touches the casket, and then drops this bomb. Hey, get up out of there. Now I gotta tell you, that's fresh. That's fresh right there, man. I mean, you know what the world needs to hear a little bit more of? Jesus walking along and grabbing our life and say, get up. I mean, you know what? We need Jesus to stop and touch Sugar Hill Church and stop. Get off your donkey and go do something. My man, my man. But now watch this, y'all. Jesus was moved by his feelings of compassion for this woman and then went and did something about it. But he didn't follow the rules. I mean, he didn't file a list that said, is it okay if I touch the casket? He didn't say, okay, this boy needs to join the church soon as he wakes up from the dead. He didn't say, this kid needs to take part of communion. He didn't say this, you got to get baptized before I'm going to do this miracle. Jesus didn't say, I'll tell you what you got to do. You got to tithe before I'm going to do this. You see, watch this. If the church is moved to serve people out of any other motivation than the compassion of Jesus, if we are motivated to serve out of any selfish means, we have literally erased Jesus out of the equation and have no right to share Jesus until such time as we get our compassion right. Now watch this, church. We need to be careful here. A church like Sugar Hill can get all fired up about all the stuff we do, but I want to be real clear, y'all. Sugar Hill Church is not the answer to the problem Jesus is. If we don't keep that right, our feelings will get wrong. You say, great, Chuck, well, how do I get this compassion? Try this prayer on. Lord, give me your heart for those who need your compassion. Like, what if that's your prayer every morning this week? Lord, give me your heart for those who need your compassion. You know, novelists, when they're writing a book, are famous for saying this. You ought to show, don't tell. When they're trying to make the point in the story, show, don't tell. In other words, get the characters to show their beliefs through actions rather than putting a speech in their mouth. Sometimes I think the church needs to stop telling the world what's wrong with it and get off our donkey and go do something about it. Amen. I would just argue, we're killing the cause of Christ when we decide to get on social media and rant about what's wrong in the world, when we're not willing to do one blessed thing to go lead people into a loving relationship with a loving God, just simply serving them out of compassion. Well, Chuck, I believe it's my calling to tell what's wrong with them. Well, bless your heart. And then I'd say, okay, come down off of that little pious stand you're on and go help the least of these, because that's what Jesus said is greatness. Amen. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, said this: if you want to give a tract to a hungry man, make sure it's wrapped with a sandwich. I believe that's true. You want to go help homeless people? Go serve them first. Don't give a rip whether they ever show up at your church or ever say thank you. Go help them. You want to help hungry people? Feed them. You want to help homeless people? Get them some housing. You want to help moms that are struggling? Help that mom. And all the while you do, you know what you're going to do? You're going to break every rule the church says, because the church says, well, first you got to do is you got to share Jesus with them. They got to pray a sinner's prayer. They got to get baptized. And then they can come in the fold, and then maybe a little class is going to take them on. And I look at all that and I say, hang all that. Go do the right thing at the right reason, the right time. Leave the hard work to Jesus and he'll take care of it. Just do the right thing. Because that's what he did. Take a look, not just at his feelings, take a look at his actions. His compassion leads to action. Well, what action? He reached out and touched. And those three words are some enormous implications. He causes a stir at the most delicate of time. Jesus goes outside the boundaries of the Jewish law in order to make his point that compassion ought to move us to action. Jesus risked offending every social and religious custom in order to do what he came to do. And I think he's challenging the church to break all of them now as well. You say, well, Chuck, I don't know about that. Take these two statements and see what you think. Staying within the boundaries of social niceties is no priority for Jesus. This is something that ought to run deep in the heart of Sugar Hill Church. You say, well, wait a minute, Chuck, what are the implications of that? Because I don't know whether to say amen or oh me. Because that doesn't sound right, church. I mean, it feels like church, Chuck's supposed to be about following the rules. Well, now watch this. Jesus came to fulfill the law so that you could follow him, not the rules. And when I look at that, I think to myself, I wonder if we would be just okay if we were willing to take the red letters of Jesus and say, this is what matters. I'm going to follow that. And I would argue that anybody, even somebody that doesn't know Jesus from apple butter, would say the world would be 20 times better if we just attempted to be a little more like Jesus. Amen. For Jesus, the love of God meant disregarding the rules of respectable society. And what about the church today? I mean, if I haven't offended you yet, let me be an equal opportunity offender. Let's jump in here. Well, so what happens when gay people come to church? open those doors, open your hearts, welcome those people into this church and say, I'm so doggone glad you're here to worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Come on. You say, Chuck, I don't want to sit next to gay people. Well, let me introduce you to Jesus, because he would. Well, what about trans people? Welcome home, Sugar Hill Church. Come on. Well, what about those folks that don't even know what they are yet? Those doors are open. Come meet Jesus. Well, Chuck, what about those Republicans? Y'all didn't think I was going there, did you? All right, well, what about those Democrats? You know what I love about this story of Jesus? He didn't need them to ride on donkeys or elephants. He just needed them to get the cross right. See, if we'll stop worrying about politics long enough to get Jesus right, we'll get politics right. But now watch this. You got to take a look at his feelings. You got to take a look at his actions. Take a look at his words, because the words came last. Did you notice that? The words came last. I mean, he was moved. Secondly, he acted on that movement, and now he speaks. Listen, church, we got to stop telling people what's wrong with the world and start telling them what's right with Jesus. I mean, at some point, do we really think the world needs us to tell them anything else that's wrong with the world? Because listen, the world knows it's whacked out, y'all. Just swivel your head around. Look at the people in this room. Go ahead. Just look. Just look. You know what you see? Whacked out people. We're everywhere. Amen. Everywhere I turn, I got people with problems. I'm one of you. But here's the good thing. The solution to every problem we have in this land will not be found in who the president is. It will not be found in who the Supreme Court is. It will be found when we put Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords on the hearts that reign right here. Amen. But we got to stop the fussing and the fighting and the screaming to get him right, because that's about compassion. You don't have to prove you're right, because Jesus is. The psalmist said in Psalm 3:3, "But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high." You know what that's for? That's for people sitting here right now saying, you know what, Chuck, listen, I'm moved by compassion for you to go do stuff. I'm moved by compassion for you to go tell people about Jesus, for you to go care for homeless people. And you, Chuck, you're kind of my proxy, because I don't do that. And here's what I'd say to you. If Jesus is not real enough in your life to move your heart and compassion to move to actions and words filled with grace and love and kindness, then I would ask you to take a very serious, hard look about what you believe about Jesus. Whoa, Chuck, that's unfair. Not according to him. You say, Chuck, I didn't come to get my toes stepped on today. Y'all, I'm not doing the stepping. That might be the Spirit of God walking on you right now. But I would say to you, folks, listen. This isn't about building church edifices. This isn't about websites. This isn't about whether we're cool or relevant or the band has skinny jeans. This is about Jesus. Our challenge in this world is that somewhere along the line, we forgot that Jesus walked up to our funeral procession. Because there was a time I was dead in my sin. Jesus walked over to my life and touched me and said, get up. But I might be like some of you in the room. Jesus couldn't touch me and say, get up. I had to hear Jesus reach into my life and said, get up, Chuck. And I'll never forget when I said, all right, Jesus, I'm in. I got it all and I ain't gonna get over it, y'all. And I don't want you to. I don't want you to grow lazy in your faith. I don't want to be one of those churches that we show up just to count how many people come to church. I want to be a church that sends more people out there doing good stuff for the cause of Christ and not worry about how many come in, but how many go out. I want to make sure we're filled with compassion, and the people that speak online or anywhere else are going to speak in grace and love and kindness, and we're going to be filled with compassion, do the right thing at the right time for the right reason, get Jesus in the central middle, let him do all the heavy lifting, go do the right thing. That's what I want us to be. You know why I want us to be that? Because that follows the model of Jesus the Lord. You say, well, Chuck, where do I start? Well, let's get super basic. You ready? Here's where we start. One, you cannot have the compassion of Jesus until Jesus lives in your heart. It's that simple. Well, Chuck, all right, I want that. How do I get it? Do I have to join the church? Nope. Do you have to get baptized? Nope. Do you have to take communion? Nope. What do I have to do? You have to believe in your heart that Jesus died for you and rose from the dead for you. You invite him to come in, ask him to become the boss of your life. All right, Chuck, I don't know about the boss thing. I kind of like holding, can I hold on to 20%? No, it's all or nothing. It's all or nothing, y'all. I'll never forget standing in front of Bill Glass at a crusade, and it was like he was reaching down and talking to me, and he said, if you want Jesus in your life, you just ask him to forgive you. Ask him to come into your life. Claim that you believe that he died for you and he rose from the dead. And man, just say, Jesus, I want to live for you. And I'm like, I'm in. He said the same thing I'm going to tell you right now. You can pray that prayer with me. You can say it out loud. You can say it silently in your heart. You can whisper it, whatever you want. I was like, I'm all in, man. I'm the only person talking out loud. I thought, well, I'm a fool. I have yet to get over that. Last hour, 9 people said yes to Jesus after hearing about wanting the compassion of Christ. I don't know how many in this room will, but I'm going to give you that chance. I don't want you to bow your heads. I don't want you to close your eyes. Here's what I want you to do. If you want Jesus in your life and you want that compassion to live with inside of you, you want him to come by that burial procession and touch your life and change you and say, get up. I want to move you from the life you've been on to the life you can be. If that's what you're looking for, then it's this simple. Just pray this prayer. You want to do like I did and say it out loud? Say it out loud. You want to whisper it? Whisper it. You want to say it silently in your heart? Say it silently. However you do it. Listen, this isn't about the church. It's about you and Jesus. But here's... say something like this. There's no magic in the prayer, man. It's all about Jesus. But this is how I prayed. Jesus, would you forgive me? Just go ahead and say it. Jesus, would you forgive me? Come into my life. I want to live for you. I need your compassion. I believe you died for me and you rose from the dead for me. Would you come be my Lord? You say, Chuck, that's it? Yeah. I didn't hear bells. I didn't see angels. I didn't either. But I tell you what I did, and I still have. I have the Spirit of God swell up in me with compassion that I don't naturally have, with a kindness I don't naturally possess, with a power that I don't humanly have. And I've got heaven that's as sure for me as if I were already there. Amen. I'm going to leave right after this service, drive down the road and preach a funeral for a 50-year-old man that died in his sleep the other night. His daughter was in the 9:15 service. She had to sit in my office and say to me the other day, I'm not sure if Daddy's in heaven or not. Can you imagine? And just think about that. I'm going to go preach a funeral for a fellow. Nobody knows where he's at with Jesus. And I have to give the same talk that I do at every other funeral, whether I know that person knows Jesus or not. I'll have to say, I'll promise you the one thing he would say to you is whatever you do, don't miss heaven. Because whether you missed it or not, you ain't going to believe how great it would be. So today, if that's your prayer, and you want to count me in on that, Chuck, just raise your hand. Go ahead. Let me see who you are. Just keep them up high. Yeah. Come on. So who else? Keep them up high. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thank you. You say, well, Chuck, what do I do now? Am I supposed to walk down an aisle? No. Do I fill up a card? No. What am I supposed to do? Let God tell you. When to let me know when you want to get baptized. And I'm happy to do it. Well, Chuck, I don't want to join this church. Don't have to. But I believe you can grow in Christ and let that compassion swell up in you where your feelings move to actions and your actions move to words of graciousness and kindness, because that's the work of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. To be able to worship you in spirit and truth and to recognize that we can be moved with compassion. Thank you for folks today who said yes to Jesus. Thank you for folks earlier today that were baptized and those that are yet to be. Thank you for the privilege to serve homeless people and kids in the Yucatan and Uvalde and here in our community. God, move us to go and to serve and to pray and to give and all those things that we're just doing the right thing at the right reason because you told us to and because we're moved by your compassion. Lord, we love you and thank you for the privilege to serve you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Come on, let's worship real quick before we go, church.
Oh, there's nothing.
Come on, church.
Better than you, Lord, there's nothing.
Yeah.
Better than you, Lord, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, church.
Nothing is better than you. It's a morning to dance.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does.
You give beauty for us. It's a chain into glory. You're the only one who can.
Some food for these kids. Help us with gifts, man. Let that compassion move you. Because when you let Jesus go before you, he'll make a way and make your crooked path straight. That's what he does. When you let him go within you, oh my goodness, he'll fill you with peace and joy, fulfillment and contentment, because he is always good and you are always loved. And when things get funky, man, and they do, right? And the funeral procession is coming, let him walk over and touch you and pick you up and carry you, not around the mess, but right through the stinking middle of it, only to set you down victoriously on your two feet. Wrap you up with his loving arms, my goodness, wipe away your tears and kiss you on the forehead. And let your Savior look at you eyeball to eyeball and say, my child, I love that, my child. Say it with me, church. I love you. I love y'all. God bless you. Go in peace.